week's episode, we try and cash in on the vampire craze by discussing Blood, the Last Vampire. Welcome to the Flophouse. I'm Dan McCoy.
I am Elliot Kalin.
And I'm special guest, Federico Hatum.
Oh, wow. You did half of our work for us.
Yep.
Oh.
Indicating that you were a special guest.
Well, I figured that was my job.
And saying your own name.
Yeah.
Oh, was I not supposed to say that?
Well, we like to have the option of coming up with a fake name for the guest.
Damn it.
Yeah, we are...
Yours would have been Billy Midnight.
I like that.
So I guess he lost out.
We're continuing our trend of disappointing our audience. I mean, not that you're a disappointment.
No,
wow.
No.
Yeah,
that's not how I took it at all.
That's how I took it. And I just say, Fed, for you, I'm offended.
No, usually if we've been gone for a while, we like to come back with all three of the regular hosts. But Stuart, I don't know, what the fuck is he doing?
I don't remember if it's work or... He's a shadowy guy. He's kind of mysterious.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Does he say things like, I had to go see some guy about some stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't explain what it is?
Except the way he says it's like, yeah, so I was fucking my girlfriend. And that's his version of, I was seeing a guy about some stuff.
Okay.
Naked Sundays. That's the thing they do.
Well, anyway. We don't need to talk about that. You should probably cut that
out of the personal piece of information.
Actually, he would say banging my girlfriend.
Oh, okay.
Or he would say something about like getting his joint worked or something like that.
The information is not that personal because he shared us.
Yeah, that's true.
Fed is a co-host of the number one foreign language or Spanish language.
Yes. Yeah, at this point, Spanish is not a foreign language. It's as American as apple
Macintosh
pie.
Macintosh podcast.
Apple-related podcast. It's called Budo Mac, believe it or not. And if you go on iTunes Spain, for example, you'll see it is always, much to my surprise, always in the top, usually the top 20 of all podcasts, including video podcasts.
Mm. And what do you talk about on it?
We talk about Apple products and Apple news, and you know, every time Steve Jobs says something that's obnoxious, we say, oh, that's Steve Jobs, shake our fists.
But you say it in Spanish, right?
But we say it in Spanish, yes.
How would that go?
Ese Steve Jobs es un idiota. Lo odio al tipo.
And how do you translate?
It's a charming language.
Yes, it has such subtleties.
Wow. Well, our producer has been saying that,
We have a producer?
Our producer has been saying that...
We're in your living room.
that the one quadrant we're not servicing is Spanish speaking.
Oh yeah, that's the one quadrant we're not servicing.
Apple aficionados, and now finally,
because we've already got the tween girl market.
Yes,
we've already got the elderly market.
name the fourth quadrant that we haven't.
Retired serviceman.
I think Stuart, with his frequent contributions to humor and uniform, is covering that for us. So, anyway, what did we watch tonight? I don't even remember.
We watched a movie called Blood, the Last Vampire.
Blood: the Last Vampire.
Oh, wait, first, did we explain on the website why it had been so long since our last episode,
let's address this before we get,
let's kill some time because we don't have to talk about
I
blood.
Don't even know why.
You really don't?
No. Well, is it
because... Elliot got married for one thing.
Yeah, it's because I got married.
Okay, that's true.
And then it was just the inertia from the
marriage. Elliot's best friend from high school... I can't even remember. I'm doing the running joke, and I can't even remember. Was it Anne Hathaway?
Anne Hathaway, right, yes.
Much like Rachel got married.
Well, she doesn't even play Rachel in that movie. She's Rachel's sister.
That's true.
And she played your sister in your wedding.
No, my sister was played by my sister in the wedding.
Oh. That's not as exciting.
Who, by the way, sure I spent the entire wedding, oh, though. Yes. Speaking of actors, I spent the entire wedding trying to figure out what actress your sister looks like, because she looks like someone, and I couldn't come up with it.
I don't.
Why don't you ask her?
Okay.
Who do you look like?
Why don't you go your twin sister and ask her what famous actress she looks like.
Oh,
she's a twin. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. She's my twin sister.
Great. Rosemary DeWitt was Rachel, by the way. Rachel getting married. That finally came back to me, so.
But yes, a month ago today, I got married, mm-hmm. and it's one of the reasons that the podcast has not been done is because now that I'm married, my wife no longer approves of my friends, especially my podcasting friends. Mm-hmm. When I told her Stuart was not going to be able to make it tonight, she said it was okay.
There's constantly a rolling pin hovering just behind your head.
We subscribe to the Andy Cap Lockhorn's School of Marriage, which is if you're not fighting, things aren't all rightin'.
Wow.
So you get into like a big ball of fists and feet?
Yeah, and just kind of like dust lines, lightning bolts.
Interesting.
Yeah. And well, so that was...
Whatever works for you, you know?
That was reason number one. And then reason number two was I was doing some freelance work for Cinemax that may or may not see air, so I can't really...
You tell about the role you're playing on their new show, New York Sexcapades.
I'm playing Tex McCabe, the stubbly stranger from out west who comes and seduces Misty Monday. Oh. No, I'm doing some animation work that may or may not be broadcast. So that's
and then
one.
And then number
and
two.
Then number two, I was in the New York TV and Video Festival in support of my independent television pilot 9 a.m. meeting.
Based on the successful series of shorts.
Which won the MTV Award for Animation, which came along
with
it.
So you got one of those Moon Men trophies?
Yeah, I got some gold-plated popcorn.
Popcorn with a Moon Man on it.
Yeah. Awesome.
You won for Best Kiss.
It was me and Kristen Stewart. And, it was tremendous.
That was actually... I was at the first screening of the... of whatever animation you were in, animation group two,
mm-hmm.
and I have to say I've seen all the episodes before, but I really enjoyed seeing it in a big group of people,
mm-hmm.
and the audience loved 9 a.m. meeting. It was
Who did not love it?
Who?
Was the reviewer from the Onion AV Club.
Really?
Who came to the show. No, he gave us a C.
That was crap. He wrote of all the animation things, I think yours might have had the longest review,
mm-hmm.
with the most specifics in it. Like, this was obviously the show that stuck in this person's mind the most.
Mm.
And yet at the end, they're like, but it gets a little tired after a while. Which is one, especially compared to the other things that were in your block of nominees, not true. And then it was like they were going out of their way to not give a good grade.
I bring it up just because I'm a negative person, but I mean
I bring it up because I like to burn bridges.
Yeah, I do like to burn. But ultimately,
so you hear that AV Club? Dan McCoy thinks you're terrible.
Actually, I love the Onion AV Club, which is why it hurts my feelings.
He'd never read your rag, which I love, by the way.
It hurts my feelings, but it just doesn't matter because ultimately MTV gave us the money. So.
Yes.
Congratulations. Thank it did go. It did play very well with an audience. I saw the second screening of it.
Oh, you did?
Well, it should. I mean, like, not to... It's been a mainstay of Channel 101. We were brought back for 10 months in a row, so it plays well for an audience.
I feel bad for a fact. I haven't seen any of those.
That's fine. I'm just saying I know for a fact that it plays for an audience, because if it didn't, they would have canceled us long ago.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
So that's why we haven't had done a show in a while, in a podcast in a while. But we're coming back with one of our best episodes ever. I think.
Mm-hmm.
We saw BL Infinity D, The Last Vampire.
Yep, that's how it's written.
Yes, actually, the two O's look like an infinity symbol. I'm not sure why they did that.
It should be, I guess, BL Infinity D colon The Last Vampire.
Mm-hmm. Or it should have been a an 8, like you write a B when you're writing boobs on a calculator.
Right.
L infinity.
I would
D.
just draw boobs on the calculator, like on the keypad.
Just ruin it.
Yeah, I mean, you can still use it.
Sharping boobs.
Let's sex up this calculator a bit.
Yeah, come on. Come on, Texas Instruments.
TI, you are not giving me an erection.
Let's make TI into
like
TNA.
TA.
Yeah, hey. High five. ROCK in the USA, right there. So we saw Blood the Last Vampire.
Yes.
Which appears to be an English language Japanese film.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's an English language version. It's a live action version of, as they say in the credits, it's based on the animation Blood the Last Vampire.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's what they say.
Is that common where an animation becomes a live action film? Like, I mean,
well, yeah, Dragon if it's Ball successful.
Which we did for the Flophouse was another.
And Avatar The Last Airbender.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's favorite.
And Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I don't know.
Okay,
if that's,
you know, you what? Yeah.
That's an Eastern Supergirl. Eastern Laird that's not Japanese. I don't.
Were we just talking Japanese?
Okay.
Well, I thought it was.
You just said animation.
In Japan.
I think it is. I think it is more common in Japan.
Okay.
So resolved.
Yes. But
done.
It was interesting that they said based on the animation, but I guess trying to make it sound adult.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Not based on the cartoon or based
on
the drawings. Americanize
the term anime. I mean, like, that would be the literal.
Well, the American version is Japanimation,
right.
Which is what the section in the video store I grew up with labeled it. Japanimation.
I love that term, actually. It's one of my favorite terms.
But it's a story we're all familiar with of a
sure.
young girl.
A tale as old as time.
A tale as old as time of a young girl of indeterminate centuries of age who fights demons with a sword dressed as a schoolgirl.
But she started out as a little girl.
She starts out as a little girl trained
so
by her old man dad. And of course, she's working with a shadowy organization
sure.
that cleans up after her murders of vampire demons.
Right.
And she's just trying to get revenge on the vampire demon who killed her father.
Called Onigan.
Which, and so for this mission, she's sent to an American army base in Japan.
In 1970.
And it's set in 1970.
It's a yeah, time
for
no
discernment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, there's no reason it's a period.
It's almost like
yeah.
they just they bought too many sideburns.
Yeah.
So they had to turn it into a period
they
piece.
Them up.
They had a sideburn warehouse.
Because if not for...
We got a gross of sideburns. What do we do with them?
And there's one headline that says, U.S. bombers ravish Vietnamese landscape. Which I think they probably meant ravage.
And I pointed out they probably meant radish.
Yes.
Because the radishes are very important in Japanese culture.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yes.
But they're apparently ravishing the landscape. So I guess these planes
they're
are just
gorgeous.
Just, you know, having their seducing the Vietnamese landscape.
Right.
But there's not too much going on in this movie.
No, there really isn't.
It was short. This might be the shortest movie we've watched.
I don't know if that's
it's like 84 minutes long.
No, it was 88. It was 88 minutes.
I don't think so.
Unlike
including
the
credits,
movie, 88 minutes,
which
was like
2 hours,
4 minutes.
But it was
talk about your false advertising.
It's basically this girl gets a mission. She wants revenge on this demon. She goes. She kills a lot of demons.
Mm-hmm.
There's an American girl sidekick.
For no reason.
Mean by that one of the American girl dolls. It's not like it's
right.
the, you know. But Polly grows up in 1837. But it seemed very by the numbers. But at the same time, in the way it was made, totally crazy.
Yeah, and it was really straightforward. She's given a mission to fight demons. Another girl discovers there's demons, and so she joins in on the mission. And
they
sort
fight
of reluctantly,
demons.
But then really, like, she seems to suddenly know everything about demons,
yeah.
even
at the
though
end,
she's had no experience with them before.
Yeah.
There's
a long flashback at the end to the demon hunting girl getting trained, or, like, I guess,
and,
how she
and
became,
her,
like,
and her father being killed.
Right.
And
then they have flashbacks within flashbacks of things we'd never seen before.
Yes. Of her training.
Awesome. Mm-hmm.
And then it turns out at the end that the head demon was her mother, and that's it.
What?
And then she kills her,
and that's the end of the movie.
When
did that happen? I don't remember that.
It's in the climax of the film.
What?
It's literally announced maybe 5 times during the climax
yeah.
of the film.
Yeah. But I am your mother. Now you must kill me, because
yeah.
I am your mother.
To become me. Why was the American girl in this movie, guys?
I have no idea.
She is the audience identification character.
Yeah,
she's a pretty girl.
She's pretty.
But
yeah.
then she. It's
Which is what we all want to be.
A pretty girl
young,
who's
pretty
having
girl.
Trouble with her one-star general father.
Girl
right.
who looks kind of like a cross between Ellen Page and a.
And Elliot Kalin. That's what you were going to say. You're going to say Elliot Kalin and Ellen Page.
I can't think of a prettier combination.
Ravishing Elliot Kalin.
Radishing.
Radish. I've been told I'm radishing.
I'm sure.
You're very tart, like a radish.
But she's in. She's basically. She's supposed to be the star of the movie, basically. Mm-hmm. But she is not interesting, and the real star is the Japanese girl with the super sword
she
skills.
She has more. It being an English language movie, she has more lines than the real star. She says more words.
Yes, but that's also because the real star is like the silent, mysterious type.
Yeah. But there's no reason for her to be there other than
true.
She's being attacked by demons, and what was the main character? Shia LaBeouf is there to save her from the demons, but it could have been anyone.
His name in French means Shia the Beef.
Yes, I'm familiar with that name.
Interesting.
What would that be in Spanish, Fed?
Shia la carne.
Wow. Beautiful. It's a beautiful language.
Yes, such.
Dan, are you fanning yourself?
Are you coming
like a southern lady in the antebellum south?
Oh my god.
I declare. Mr. Fed.
This is why you invited me over.
It's a very strange.
Yeah, he's not even recording right now.
This is all made of paper mache and marzipan.
But, that's why it's so delicious.
Delicious and flowery.
Deadly.
But the scene where the demons reveal themselves to the American girl is very strange because, like, I'm just going to call our hero Blood the Last Vampire because I don't know what her actual character was.
Her name was Saya. That's right. Saya and the American girl was either named Alice, Allison, Hollis, or Annis.
Annis.
There are a lot of different accents screaming her name throughout the movie, so it's hard to tell.
It sounds different every time someone...
And I think she might be the only actually American actress or actor in the film.
Everyone else that was American, in quotes. For a while sounded American, and then suddenly they'd say something and...
Their accent would drift.
Hey, come over here, you girl! It wasn't quite... You've got to do what she says. says.
Correcting themselves.
Yeah,
that way,
which is really weird.
But they all seem to be.
They could have cut and said, do that line again. But no,
nope.
Just let it go.
They said, we're running out of film. Let's just keep it rolling.
It's the last Vampire Fed. They don't have a lot of time. There was a, Saya infiltrates this school, this military-based school, where I guess these two demons reveal themselves to Alice. And get mad at her because Alice had an insight about Frankenstein in the English class.
They're in English class. Alice has a very potent insight, probing into Mary Shelley's Frankenstein.
Mm-hmm.
They're the two catty girls who don't like her. Then stay with her after kendo practice because they're on the kendo team,
of course,
many American kids are, turn into demons and are going to kill her before Blood the Last Vampire saves her. And the demons just suddenly start not liking Alice and wanting to kill her for no reason.
Yeah, and revealing themselves. I mean, I guess, Alice is... Figure Alice is going to die, but it's very strange.
Because then she goes to a bar and the kendo teacher is there and
She confronts him.
She confronts him. You knew they were trying to hurt me. And then he's like... Well, there's been a war between your kind and mine. And he turns into a demon, and everyone in the bar turns into demons, and they chase after her.
Why her? It wasn't like her father was like the head demon killer, or they're trying to get to him or something.
And unless we missed it, there's never a scene where a character says, like, the prophecy says only an American, you will blah, blah, blah,
the
blah.
The only
blah.
True American among fake American accents, will bring us all to...
Instead, the kendo teacher just turns into a cross between the Guyver and the creeper from Jeepers Creepers and flies off with.
There were some neat moments though in that sequence, like when he grabs Allison and then goes running along the building tops.
Some of the stuff
looks really good.
It's the a lot
interesting.
A lot of the movie is super stylized, in a very, almost like Kung Fu Hustle, Shaolin Soccer type of way, but also if you've seen like Versus or Azumi or any of those movies, it's like everything is cut, 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 cut. Camera swooshing around. Oh, slow down. Fast again. Okay, look at that. Super cut. And then it goes.
And it was done for no...
for no reason.
For no effect, no reason. And there was all this fake CG CG blood everywhere.
Yeah, all the blood was CG. And like the demon blood, I guess, was supposed to look different than the human blood. But they all looked, it all looked the same.
And they never stained anything. She's like fighting in a white dress and never gets any blood on her. And
yeah. But it was, but it, like, but the action scenes were genuinely fun. Like the choreography, yeah, you couldn't figure out because it was cutting, but it was still neat moments.
Yeah.
Well, it's weird too. Like, you know, sometimes bad special effects are charming, and sometimes they're just off-putting. And like all the CG blood looked like, you know, shots of, you know, like milk in zero gravity or something
yes,
like that.
It did.
Whereas like,
or like fudge, just fudge spurting out of things.
The monster, on the other hand. Like the bad animation kind of made him look like an old, like old fashioned, like
Clash
stop
of
motion.
The Titans or something.
Yeah, yeah, there was something charming about it. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Release the Guyver.
Something. Exactly. Oh, by the way, this is. I don't know. I don't know why I feel the need to specify this because this is so stupid. But this is our first Shocktober episode of the season.
Oh, you forgot that.
Oh, yeah, this is. I think no.
We should go
I think
back.
22 minutes in was the right time to announce that.
To reveal it.
That Blood the Last Vampire was our Shocktober.
Shocktober.
Episode number one.
It's really not a horror movie. No. So,
well, there's
so
a
much,
vampire in it.
So much as an action, and... a gory action movie. Uh-huh. And well, an old man gets covered in knives and then his hands get cut off. It's a Shocktober movie.
Well, as you pointed out, Elliot, Shocktober just means that there's a 4% more chance that we'll watch a horror-oriented film.
As opposed to something where Katherine Heigl and Gerard Butler
right.
gad about for a while before falling in love.
Yeah, gad about, that's the best way to describe it.
I was trying to explain to someone recently how bad the movie The Ugly Truth is, and I was having trouble getting across without just describing scenes outright and saying lines of dialogue from it. In Gerard Butler's terrible, like, really over-enunciated American accent. You don't understand. Guys only want sex. Come on.
Don't you get it, girl?
I'm a truth teller.
Mm-hmm. An ugly truth teller.
I'm the last sane man in a world gone mad. He never says that.
He doesn't? Well, this film had a lot of really bad lines that were just, like, lifted from other films. What is he...
You've gone soft, old man.
I've
heard that a thousand times. And
now who's stupid?
Yeah, exactly.
After he shoots somebody.
I was almost waiting to hear something like,
I'm getting too old for this shit. Or,
yeah.
You know,
but, it's quiet. Too quiet.
Too quiet, exactly.
Well, yeah.
Show me the money.
And the
you complete me. You know,
yeah. I wish I could.
Hello.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
The general character, the father of the
I could have saved more. It's from Schindler's List.
I could have been somebody.
Yeah, that old line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The father of Alice. I think that in terms of bad performances, I think he rates only second to Chris Klein in Legend of Chun-Li.
In Street Fighter, the Legend of Chun-Li.
Yeah.
I didn't see that one.
That is also bad movie. And Chris Klein is in it, and it's like someone bet him. You can't emphasize every syllable that you say.
Yeah. He and Nicolas Cage got drunk one night. And they're like, the next movie that we do, let's just try and outdo each other. Let's see if we can do it worse. And like, Chris Klein won. Chris Klein won that bet.
There's a lot of bad. This is not a good. This is like a very forgettable movie.
I'm having a hard time
remembering
scenes from it. Yeah.
But it zips along.
Mm-hmm. That's
it's
true.
It's got super fast editing. If you like
as
that,
you said, hey, it was quick. It was short.
Yeah,
very excitedly, you said that at the end of the movie. Yeah, we're done with it.
Yeah, I was very excited because we've been watching a lot of movies lately that have felt like they've been about 7 hours long.
Right.
And there have been long scenes of people just walking around or looking at things, or Robin Williams and John Travolta like comparing how many pills they take for their old age problems, you know.
Mugging to the camera. So.
Yeah. Like after a movie like Whiteout,
yeah.
This is just a delight. you know.
No, this is. I mean, if this has short scenes of people getting cut with a katana.
Yeah,
right.
The people jumping around and getting blood spurting out of them, mm-hmm. fake blood, yes, and monsters suddenly remembering they can grow wings mm-hmm. and
oh,
using
that
them
the
to
other,
fly away.
Right. So there was this whole scene where the monster grabs Allison or Hollis or Aniston or whatever her name is and drags her across the. The rooftop. She's being chased by Saya,
the Japanese schoolgirl with the katana
exactly.
blade.
And then suddenly it's like, ah, I can fly. I'm gonna fly, and flies away. But flies away in a straight line, following
and
a road,
pretty low to the ground.
Pretty low to the ground, so that they can chase it through the streets.
He's following
very easily,
and they get to a runway, and he's following a cargo plane with propellers on it, and. And we're all expecting him to get cut up in those propellers.
Or, those propellers.
Nope, doesn't
or
happen.
Grab onto the plane, or like, why did he fly to the air base?
Yeah, it seems very expensive for them to shoot on
for no reason. Just
And also, somehow, in between cuts, our main characters have gone from running from the monster to chasing the monster.
Oh, right, exactly. Yes.
It's a movie that really follows no rules.
And
it knows the rules are made to be broken.
And you get the idea that, well, she can get on the army base or, you know, whatever, because her father is the one-star general, so they all know her. But there's never a scene of, like, you know, let me in, or, you know, don't you know who I am, or something. She just drives right in. Like, well, what? She could have done that anywhere.
It's a poorly guarded army base.
It was so crap.
The same way that...
One thing army bases are not known for is their security.
That's true.
The same way also that, like, when they're fighting a band of demons in the streets and then just being chased through the streets, they're in, I think, if it's the correct name, the Ginza neighborhood, which is where, like, all the bars and things are,
right.
which should be... The streets should be packed with people.
Sure, but no, it's empty.
Completely empty.
Except for demons.
It's like the whole city just went on vacation.
Oh, and then the two cleaners just come up and in 5 minutes clean up like, what, 100 bodies?
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing is that everywhere that the heroine goes, she's followed by two identical guys who are bald and have mustaches. They look like...
what are their names?
What's his name from...
From Tintin? Mm-hmm.
From Lovely Bones?
Oh. Yeah, and they look like two Stanley Tucci's.
Two Stanley right, Tucci's. That's right. Yeah, or like the two guys from Tintin with no bowler hats.
Yeah.
And they just walk. They just clean up all the bodies and leave, but they have like supernatural cleaning powers.
Right.
By the way, as long as he wasn't the character from Lovely Bones, what would be more fun than two Stanley Tucci's?
that's
twin
a good
Stanley
point.
And let's say he's the characters around. From Burlesque. Coming soon to a theater near you, Christina Aguilera. The movie that posits that there's an enormous, glitzy, underground burlesque scene in L.A. that has a lot of money flowing through it.
Isn't there?
And also that the plot of Coyote Ugly can just be taken wholesale.
Ah.
By the way, Coyote Ugly and Showgirls, the same movie, two different ratings. I mean, you know...
I can think of the reason why Coyote Ugly has a different rating than Showgirls.
No, I know. I'm not...
It's probably the full frontal nudity.
I'm not arguing that the different ratings are wrong. I'm just saying, like, if you boil it down, there are two movies that have the same plot, that are going after the same thing. Only one of them has the courage of its convictions, and the other one is like, maybe we'll throw a thong in here. So
you really thought about this.
I have.
This is an axe you are grinding.
This is my thesis.
This is
my thesis.
Your dissertation.
Why are you sweating?
For your doctorate in crap. Your PhD in shit from... Sorry.
Elliot, why don't you think
I go too far?
This podcast is part of my PhD.
It's your ongoing thesis.
Dissertation.
Your ongoing thesis called Life.
Mm-hmm.
From the School of Hard Knocks.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today. Anyway. So, yeah, let's...
What more can we say?
So, Blood the Last Vampire, it is what it is.
Let's just make some judgments. Let's
I've
be
already
real.
Forgotten about it.
Okay, well, I like your glasses.
Judgmental up in here.
All right.
We're going to do the final judgments.
Dun, 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 dun.
Oh, final nice. Judgments.
Dun, 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 dun. How does he
those
say that?
Those are good. No, I like your variation.
Bum, 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 bum.
That's the Planet of the Apes soundtrack. No, that's too much.
Okay.
You give us a wide variety of options.
Now just cut them together.
Just
make something musical.
Yeah.
Final
I was,
judgments.
I was waiting for it to go to the, like, the National Geographic theme.
That's actually what,
no, that's National Geographic, right?
It?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's usually not done like as if you're trying not try and make sure nobody hears
I remember,
it.
I remember that mainly from the beginning of Twilight Zone, the movie. Look at that old man. He looks like an old ape. Boom, boom. That may be the best thing in Twilight Zone, the movie. Like, it's Albert Brooks and Dan Aykroyd at the beginning. They're like going through.
Oh, yeah. That's the only good scene in the whole movie.
They're playing, like,
that's not true.
I like that. That's great.
Anyway, Final Judgments. Is this a good bad movie, a bad movie, a movie you actually kind of liked in some way? Fed, go.
I think it's a bad movie. I really did not... I enjoyed a few moments, a few shots, a few scenes, or moments of scenes were interesting, but in general, it was just really. I didn't find it amusing. There wasn't enough of a. I laughed, but I didn't laugh for the right reasons. It wasn't trying to make me laugh, and it wasn't. It took itself way too seriously, and no, I did not really care for it. I enjoyed hanging out with you guys, though.
Thanks. If I was,
you'd recommend that to the viewers,
yeah,
to the listeners.
Recommend hanging out with you guys watching.
You
could
swing
movie.
It.
Then it's too long.
Yeah, I would. What I would say about this is, I hate to be wishy-washy. I feel like we've gotten to an area of like non-answers recently. But talk about quadrants. I feel like this. I mean, like, I guess they're tridents.
I am so confused.
This occupies all three tridents. Of
like tridents, like you would use when you're spear fishing.
Or you mean gum? What?
Yeah.
Like
what is
gum?
I mean, this is a good bad movie in the sense that it is not a well made movie, but I enjoyed much of it. It's a bad movie in that much of it is deeply boring. And it's a movie I actually kind of liked in some way, in the sense that I don't think it's good because I laughed at it. Like the stuff that I enjoyed in it.
You enjoy it genuinely.
I enjoy it genuinely. Like, so it's a sort of a hard call to make. Mm. I would say
not for me.
You turned it off after like maybe 40 minutes, you might have a genuinely enjoyable experience with this movie because it gets really silly and crazy for a while and then it gets boring
kind of dull.
At the end.
Yeah.
It gets duller actually as it goes on.
And the ending makes even less sense than the rest of the movie.
Yeah. I would say like go through like the big like weird massacre in the town square. And the right up until the demon like getting killed on the airstrip, and then that's enough.
Yeah, you can turn it off right there.
You can turn it off
because
we didn't.
No, we watch
we're
a whole
advising.
Movie.
We watch the whole
we
thing.
We do this.
We watch it so they don't have to.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And they don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
I feel the same way you do, Dan. Like it's not a good movie. I wouldn't really recommend it necessarily, but I did enjoy big chunks of it. So I feel like if it's one of those things where like if it was 1:30 in the morning and you wanted to watch some kind of violent demon battle and then go to bed, like
that's your movie.
Dial this up on your Netflix instant queue.
Perfect.
And maybe like after the town square, you could fast forward to. The fight between the ninja demons and the old man where he gets, you know, stabbed to death.
Actually, that scene was actually, that was kind of cool. There was like, they were coming out of the ground and that
yeah.
was interesting. But
she ran up a tree for no reason and then slid down,
yeah,
stabbing
and put a sword in the guy's
that's
eye.
Where they had the flashback of a flashback
yeah.
of something we'd never seen before.
And they have... a sword. So, there's a demon that's underground, and his sword is running. It's like Bugs Bunny going through, you know, burrowing underground with just a sword
right.
sticking up.
I kind of like that actually.
Yeah,
but
getting there is the con. It's like
getting there is not half the fun.
Yes,
and there's not enough of that for me to say it's a good bad movie. And
yeah,
that's why I just
if ever there was a movie that you it is fine to watch the best scenes out of context, and there's no reason to watch the rest of it. You know. But,
if someone gave you a cheat sheet and said, jump to minute 12 and watch until minute 22 and then jump to this minute and
yeah.
watch these five
yeah.
minutes.
You will know that they have spent too much time watching
them.
Right, that's true.
Go ahead and watch the fight scenes. Watch any scene that is like supposedly filled with 1970s flavor, or where the general is talking to his daughter because he is a terrible actor.
Yeah, but I mean, it's the other stuff you might not get if you skip, because it's a pretty subtle movie. Like when you first see the army base, they play "War, What Is It Good For" on the soundtrack, and it's like that's a kind of a subtle touch. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That the movie's taking a bold anti-Vietnam War stance. The
movie's asking a question: War, what is it good for?
Yeah, and I guess ridding the world of demon vampires.
Right.
So I guess now we should move on. Before we get into recommendations, I think we'll go to plugs.
Oh.
Let's mix it up. Yeah, let's do the plugs now so that people don't skip over them.
So they can't skip over them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's what I do. As soon as I listen I listen to this podcast every week, whenever it's on. And I always...
rub it in.
Whenever I hear plugs, I'm like, forget it. Mm-hmm. I grab my iPod and I throw it on the ground and smash it.
Really?
I'm not going to listen to
that. Seems you could just press pause or,
No.
We are responsible for such waste.
I don't want to even hear the plugs. It's just like, I don't even want to near my ears.
Well, I apologize.
Yeah, well, it's very costly for me. But
Hopefully you get a bulk discount.
Mm-hmm. Elliot, what do you want to...
I buy them in blister packs.
What do you want to plug?
What will I plug? Well.
£7.
Well, I won't plug that. I host a monthly film screening series in New York City, the City of Angels. And
That's not the
Big Apple.
The Big Angel.
Yeah. Windy City. The Red Planet.
Take a...
Bite out of the broad shoulders.
Satchmo. I stole that joke from
JFK
someone else.
JFK blown away.
It's not even a name for a thing. It's line from a song.
It's a line
from a song. That's a good question, yeah.
Come on.
I've often said that once it gets to Rock and Roll the Color War, I can't really take it anymore. But I host a monthly film screening series in New York City, Closely Watched Films. Our next one is... Next week. Will this be going up this weekend, Dan?
Yes, it will go up this weekend.
So this coming week, Wednesday, October 6th at 7:30 p.m., I'll be showing the film The Black Cat, starring Bela Lugosi and Boris Karloff, the best of the movies they made together, and the first of the movies they made together, directed by Edgar G. Ulmer, which involves Bela Lugosi as an insane psychiatrist. He's the hero of the film.
Really?
Boris Karloff as a satanic architect who has the best pajamas I've seen in a movie. There's something – the movie is very – has a very neat kind of like art deco gothic look to it. And for some reason that means some of the best men's pajamas that I've seen in movies. But it's a movie that it's one of the universal horror films of the 30s, and it's one of the lesser watched ones because there's no like big name monster in it. Okay. But it's a very creepy, weird movie, and like there's Satanism and torture and general weirdness and death and creepiness and like World War I guilt and things like that. Like, it's this weird stew of elements, and it's a very haunting movie. So I'll be showing that, and then I'll also be showing in a very cut-down version. That I'll be showing in full on 35mm print. And then I have edited down the movie Dr. X, starring Lionel Atwill, from its original run of 75 minutes down to about 8.5-9 minutes.
Wow.
And I'll be showing you just the best parts of the Lee Tracy, Lionel Atwill semi, not really a classic, but it's pretty fun. Dr. X, which is another weird. It's another weird one in that it's a 30s horror movie that involves like cannibal murderers and things that you would not expect to find in a 30s movie.
I was going to ask you this. So first of all, where do you get the prints from?
The prints, the people at 92i Tribeca, where the movies are screened. I should say that it's at 92i Tribeca, which is 200 Hudson Street downtown in Tribeca. Mm-hmm. And I hope Dan will put up the information on the website. Thank you. They get the prints from different distributors, and Christina, who is the programmer there, actually arranges
them.
So, and we once had to show a 16mm print of Closely Watched Trains because they couldn't find a 35mm, but everything we've shown otherwise is 35mm prints. And we've got a good slew of movies coming up. The Black Cat on Wednesday, October 6th. In November, we'll be showing Dodsworth, which is out of print on DVD, I think. And in December, we'll be showing A Thousand Clowns, which has never been released on DVD. and there it should all be very good prints. So.
Well, that sounds right. Like a Shocktober treat.
Thank you. It's very nice of me to say.
You just sell that in for anything, right?
Sure. So I would like to plug. I mean, well, first of all,
it's not a trick, but a treat.
Mm-hmm. It's not gonna. It's not gonna soap the windows.
No, or egg the house.
Did you just say that all through October, like you're at a restaurant, they're bringing you food. Here's your hamburger, sir. A perfect Shucktober hamburger.
I don't Shucktober know what you're talking about.
Well, Shucktoberfest again, huh? This beer is spookily good.
I didn't do our... that reminds me, I didn't do our special Shucktober classifications.
This is, you're a little rusty. It's been a month. Little rusty. Rusty Flophouse.
The third year in a row of Shocktober, and I have dropped the ball.
Do you just yet again. With like a vampire voice?
It's like, was this scarily bad or like spookily good? What was it?
I don't know. Was this a real scare factory? A real snore factory? Or was it, I don't know. I don't even
a duck
know.
Factory. Was it starring Jim Carrey?
Or did you kind of, duck factory? Never mind. That's better.
So I would like to plug, well, first of all, you should go to 9ammeeting.com and watch the award-winning web series.
It's very funny. Meeting. It's a very funny series.
You sound so grudging when you say
it. I begrudge anyone else's success.
No, I know.
As anyone in comedy.
It's really very strange because you're so much more successful than me.
Well, I like to keep a safe margin between the two of us. So anything you do that closes that margin a little bit.
Yeah. But I also would like to plug, on October the 18th, which is a Monday, I don't know exactly when, I'll put it on the website.
Moonday.
On October the 18th, a screenplay I wrote is being read at the JCC, the Jewish Cultural Center, as part of the WGA East, Writers Guild of America East, reading series.
Yeah, don't worry everybody, Dan did not convert.
No.
He has not abandoned his faith just to get his screenplay read at the JCC.
It's true. It was chosen by the Writers Guild. The JCC just happened to be a good venue. And so there are two screenplays that are having excerpts written or read. 20-page excerpts are going to be read from my screenplay and another gentleman's screenplay by professional actors.
Mm-hmm, very nice.
And the cost is $10 for the general public, $8, I believe, for guild members.
That's me.
Yeah.
Hey.
Only $8. I'll buy a ticket now. Here, Dan, here's $8.
Thank you.
Can you write me out a ticket?
No, I can't, but I will enjoy the $8.
Dole.
But if you want to come and... see what qualifies me to make fun of movies, which is nothing, because because this is not a produced screenplay. You can do that. You can come and enjoy 20 pages and not know what happens next.
And what day is it again?
It's October the 18th. That's a Monday.
At what time?
I think it's at 7:30, but I'm not sure.
My screening is also at 7:30.
Okay.
So that might be a conflict.
Well, they're not on different dates.
Oh, so great. Okay, then that shouldn't be a problem. Okay. Then I can go to both.
Yeah.
And you can too, listeners.
So you can't do anything at 7:30 any day.
Except
not
for
if
days.
I have, yeah.
Those. If you have something coming up at 7:30, then forget it.
No, just come to our stuff. Okay, and you'll put up the information on the website for your screenplay reading?
Yes.
What's the name of your screenplay?
Called Orientation, and speaking of demons, it involves demons.
Oh,
so if you enjoyed the demon
from
elements,
the Orient,
if
the
you
last
like
vampire.
Demons, you'll love Orientation.
Uh-huh. Yeah, if you want demons in a 20-page form that does not involve Blood of the Last Vampire, this is your best option.
Sounds pretty good, actually. Yeah.
If you're getting your PhD in demonology, don't forget to show up for the Orientation. At the university that teaches demonology.
The JCC.
Perfect. Exactly. I'm just trying to come up with a good good intro for your film.
And
I'll get it. Just give me like an hour or two. I'll work on it.
What do you want to plug, Fed?
I have nothing really to plug.
Plug the last vampire.
I'll tell you.
That would have been a better movie, Plug the Last Vampire.
P.L. Infinity
G. Plug. Comic book artist Mike Plug, the last vampire.
I'll just mention again that I do this podcast called Budo Mac. It's mm-hmm. a Spanish language podcast about Apple and its products and so on. And doing it for 4 years. And I'll say it again, much to my surprise, it's wildly successful. It's odd to say this, but it really is the number one Spanish language podcast about Apple that's out there. I can't explain it. I don't often think it's that good, but people seem to like it. So there you go.
Good pitch. Wow. Great plug.
No, it's I'm very self-deprecating about it. It's just it's a conversation between two friends. It's my friend Flavio and me, and we just talk about Apple stuff, and we share things we've learned, and we bitch about Apple, and right. It's a good hour.
Now plug it again in Spanish.
If you don't speak Spanish,
our listeners don't speak Spanish. Right. I think we have the whitest podcast audience.
You think?
Of any podcast. We have a lot of letters from prisons.
We have a surprising number of female fans, though. I would not.
I didn't. Well, I mean, they're. I was talking you about said, an no, ethnic said, group, not about. Said,
no, I understand. I'm aware of what you said.
I understand gender. I'm just saying.
On a separate note, I'm surprised by the number of female fans that we have.
I'm not. We say a lot of funny things.
Mm-hmm.
And
you have Stuart and yours, your deep,
deep baritone voice.
And you've got my high-pitched squeal.
Yeah.
that makes women, that brings
which,
out the...
Which calls women to the yard like a dog whistle.
Brings out the maternal element in him. In them. Oh, that child sounds like he's in trouble.
Right. He needs taken care of.
Yeah.
He's hungry.
Sorry, ladies, I'm taken. So...
just missed him.
There's already someone to deal with my unmanageable neuroses. But
that doesn't have anything to do with how high your voice is. My unmanageable neuroses, I would put them up against yours in a second, sir.
All right. Well, you've heard it here. A challenge. A neuroses off.
And I know you both.
Which one of our wives
will... Pretty neurotic. I don't know who would win.
Which one of our wives will leave us first is the challenge.
It's a good question. Well, are we start counting from the beginning of the marriage? Because you've been married longer than I have.
Yeah, no, I think the only fair way to do it is in total number of years.
Okay.
I mean, yes. If this is a competition, you really have to do it fairly.
Okay, yeah. Well,
you
what's
really
the,
should keep
What's
track
the
over-under
on this?
I don't know. I mean, the thing is, neither of us can bet on it, because then we'll just try and drive our wives off.
Or drive the other one's wife off.
True.
And the funny part is, no matter who wins, you both lose.
That is funny.
Yeah.
All right.
Good makes point. Me smile.
So let's move on to recommendations.
Recommendations.
Movies. Dun, 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 dun.
Movies that we saw.
Ba, 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 ba. Dun, dun, dun,
dun. But it doesn't matter to you when you got a job. You do. Okay. Now.
Oh yeah. Bump bump.
Now that we've driven our audience off with mouth sounds, as we do every episode.
This is not the mouth sound podcast.
Yeah.
Enjoying 2 hours of people just going. Bow, 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 bow.
So, this is the part where we. This is the part where we recommend movies.
It's late.
It's good times.
Recommend movies that we saw that we enjoyed that one might like to see rather than Blood the Last Vampire. I'm going to start off and say. That I haven't seen a lot of older movies recently, but two movies that I saw this summer that were not financial successes, certainly, and to a lesser degree were not critical successes, although did pretty well, were Piranha 3D and Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Oh.
Both very niche films, but both...
both enjoyable entertainments.
Yeah, both satisfied the sweet spot. I mean, like, Piranha 3D had the... absurd levels of nudity and gore that one would expect out of a late 70s, early to mid 80s movie, but have not seen since. And
that was, and that, well, but we, that was a special occasion too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we went to see Piranha 3D the day of my wedding.
That, yeah.
Awesome.
The audience might think that's a joke. It is not.
Nope. Me and Dan was one of my groomsmen. Me and my groomsmen and a couple other friends decided
including,
that.
Including Flophouser Stuart Wellington.
Flophouser Stuart Wellington, mm-hmm, and Flophouse Superfans, Senia Yarosh and Matt Carman. Mm-hmm. We had decided to all go see Piranha 3D the day of the wedding, early in the morning, just to, you know, get out of the sure. girl's hair.
Yeah.
And
just to get it out of the way, because you got to see it before the wedding.
and it was a lot
just
of fun.
To set the mood.
We were the only – I felt bad for the other two people in the audience who were not with us
yeah.
because we talked and laughed throughout the movie and probably ruined their, you know, genuine appreciation of Piranha 3D. But that was a lot of fun.
No, it was very enjoyable. Adam Scott and Christopher Lloyd were particular high points –
and Jerry O'Connell.
And Jerry O'Connell's very funny. And Kelly Brook, who was nude in the water. So that was good, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of nudity and women. And, like, nudity followed by violence.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a fan of...
I'm not a fan of nudity followed by... Like, the best nakedness was the non-piranha attack... long underwater nude ballet because
yeah the underwater
it on its own
the
merits.
Nude underwater lesbian ballet was
yeah.
was the high point of the film.
You sold me at nude.
I don't, you don't even know what's naked.
I don't have to hear the rest of it. There's a nude. Okay, I'm going.
Really, I would have figured that underwater would be the thing that sold you.
I like underwater too. That's a good point.
That reminds me of there was a website I mentioned a long time ago in an old podcast. I was talking about something I overheard at Comic-Con that I thought was a website called Aquafan.com, but it was Aquamanfan.com. And we looked up what Aquafan.com was, yeah. and it was a blog about underwater sex. Yeah. And there was only one posting to it, which was underwater sex. Anybody tried this? Question mark.
Pretty awesome. Yeah.
That was it.
That was the entire blog.
No other entry.
But anyway, and Scott Pilgrim versus the World is also
about
fine
Scott
entertainment.
Pilgrim, that like. You know, when it tanked, I felt sort of bad. I didn't, without not seeing it, I felt bad because I'm like, oh, you know, I always feel bad when something that I think is sort of pitched to me goes poorly. And, you know, I like Edgar Wright. I liked the comics. But then I watched the movie and I realized that to anyone who didn't have a very specific grounding in, like, classic video games, comics, Japanese culture, like alternative, like rock, like all yeah. these things, like it must have been a baffling experience.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's enough that the movie got made. It's enough that the movie got made and I enjoyed it.
Well, not for the makers of the film.
Those people are going to make other movies. You know what? Like,
no, but I feel the same way. When I watched it, I enjoyed it a lot and I felt like this was a movie that hit my spot.
Mm-hmm.
But I could see why it would not be the right movie for other people.
Yeah, I didn't see it, but mm-hmm. I didn't see it not because I didn't want to, just I never got around to seeing it, but it looked like it was really enjoyable. I want to see it on Netflix.
Well, you host
Netflix
podcast about Apple, so I think also probably in the demographic. But this is
oh, strange. I guess so. Well, I just like the...
I don't know. There's an old man who hosts a podcast about apples.
Exactly.
I don't think he'd like it.
See? Good point. But
it's called
the style
Granny
of it,
Smith cast.
I like apples. the imagery looked really good. This is Tom Johnson. I like apples.
Good appling to you.
Good appling to you. Now I'm stuck on that. But... The imagery, like the...
No, it was beautifully shot.
It looked really amazing.
Yeah, it was...
So,
yeah.
I'd like to see it.
It was too bad it didn't find its audience.
It'll find its audience on DVD.
Or,
yeah, I'm sure of it.
Netflix or whatever, yeah.
I hope so.
Fed, do you have any recommendations?
Sure. I saw this movie a while ago, and it's been... I think it's been out for 3 or 4 years. It's been out for a long time. But I remember... that when I saw it, I was very surprised at how much I liked it. And it's The Mist, mm-hmm. which is a film version of a Stephen King...
novella.
Novella. It wasn't even like a full-length
a Stephen novel, King telenovela.
Right? Yes.
Yeah.
De odio. it was... if you're unfamiliar with it, it's about what happens to a town, but more specifically to a bunch of people who are trapped in a grocery store when this mysterious mist envelops the town and the grocery store, and they're trapped inside. And the reason I liked it so much was because, well, apart from very good acting, and the fact that the special effects were well done, they served the purpose of the film as opposed to being the reason for the film, like Transformers or something like that. It was really just a story about what happens when people are trapped in a place and they can't leave, and they all have very different ideas about what life is about and how to survive and what they're supposed to do and how civility breaks down.
Yeah.
And that kind of situation.
And what you're saying is the true monster is us.
Holy, what?
Yeah.
I was pretty not amazing, thinking that.
I don't think so. Like, there's probably like a monster with like claws and.
Oh no, you're right. Teeth. Right.
Yes. Yeah.
He's right.
Like a werepire.
Yeah, I don't.
Or like a Frankenwolf.
Too much into it. I mean, really, the film is just about a bunch of monsters killing people.
Yeah.
Or like
Mummy Kong,
which is why
like a Dracula.
Which is why I liked it.
Dracustein.
Like a Dracugan. That's a Dracula dragon.
Wow.
Like a Dracosaurus. You know.
You know that common monster. That's in so many films.
You know, like a Hunchback Zilla. One of those. Like that's the real monster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. Anyway,
you know, like a Ghostmobile,
Ghostmobile.
You know, like a murder burger. You know, that's a monster for you. You know, I'll recommend, just to confuse people, a different movie called Black Cat than the one that I'm screening next month. I do recommend The Black Cat with Boris Karloff and Bela Lugosi, which I'll be screening I'll be screening this coming week, Wednesday, October 6th.
Double plug.
But there's replug. But there's a Japanese movie called Kuneko, or Black Cat.
What does that mean in English?
Roughly Black Cat.
Oh, okay.
But it has a longer Japanese title, but it's known as Kuneko here.
Okay.
And it's about...
It's known as Konami.
I feel like I may have recommended it before, but I don't think so. But it's about this woman and her mother-in-law, the one man in the family, goes off to war in feudal Japan. So it's just his wife and his mother left in this house. They are killed by samurai, and they come back as cat demon ghosts.
Sure.
That seduce samurai and then murder them. And in order – and the – meanwhile, the son is the last surviving member of this battle that he was in. There's a sequence where he kills a giant, basically, that's really great. And so the daimyo, the warlord, sends him to stop this cat, this thing that's killing other samurais, him not knowing that it's the reincarnation of his wife and mother, getting their revenge as cat demons. And like... cat demon stories are not uncommon in Japan, but they sound really weird when you talk about them in America.
Yeah. No, I mean they sound totally normal.
But it's by the same director as the movie Onibaba, which is a little bit better known, and it's this very atmospheric, very cool, like neat, suspenseful, weird ghost story movie. Mm-hmm. And it's actually playing for a week this month at Film Forum. This is a movie I wanted to show in my screening series, but we couldn't get a print of it. We didn't, and the Film Forum is advertising this as the New York debut of this movie, which came out in 1968. So I wonder if it's actually never been shown in theaters in New York before. So as much as I hate to promote another theater, it's worth going to see it.
So what you're saying, if you go to a New York screening of The Black Cat, you can't go wrong.
What I'm saying is
there are
two movies called The Black Cat that are playing New York.
They're both great.
They're both awesome. Go to the one I'm showing and
first.
Then go to – if you see only one Black Cat movie in New York this month.
Don't see mine.
No, see mine.
See yours.
See mine with Boris Karloff and Bela Lugosi. Uh-huh. But then later –
but if you see two,
that's
not a bad decision.
If you see two later in the month, go see Kuneko at Film Forum because it's real. And if you miss it at Film Forum, sometimes they show it on – IFC, which is where I saw it on television.
And if you see none, go fuck yourself.
If you don't see any movies called Black Cat, I don't even want to know you. What are you doing? What are you doing with your life? Look in the mirror and ask yourself some questions.
I've been plugging this and plugging this all night, and if you don't see it...
And now you're not going to see it?
Fine.
Well, shut up. Okay, fine. Yeah.
You know what? I never liked you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not going to go that far. That's
too far.
But it is a very cool atmospheric movie.
Okay.
All right.
Well, guys, I think this has been a delightful return.
Thanks for the invitation to.
Thank you for coming and joining us.
For the Flophouse, I've been Dan McCoy.
Oh, I.
Oh well, I can go next. I usually go last for this.
I didn't. Sorry. I am and will continue being and enjoyed being here, Federico Hatoum.
And in this corner, the Manassas Mahler, the man from the East, the devil may care.
The devil wears Prada.
The devil wears Prada. The ugly truth.
Devil in a red
The man
dress.
That planned the Canal Panama. Elliot Kalin.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Okay.
Said as if you are a teacher about to start class.
Alrighty then.
In 3, 2.
I thought you were gonna cough.
No, I was just yawning.
I see.